The following was the Rock Springs meeting, the first Sunday in May 1969. A small part of the last part is missing.
Yeah. In 75, the first one? I think most of them are the one. What is the one you sang last night? Yes, on page 148, this is the last hymn on that page.
Oh.
about the abuse of services. I think that this expresses the feeling of every one of the Lord's people who have been taught, brought to see themselves as they are, as dependent people. When Newton said, "Hungry, faint, and poor, behold us, Lord, again assembled at thy mercy's door, thy bounty to obtain. Thy word commands us nigh, or we must starve indeed. For we no money have to buy, no righteousness to plead. The food our spirits want to thy hand alone can give. Oh, hear the prayer of faith, and grant that we may eat and live." Page 152.
Three scriptures on my mind this morning. Neither one of them very long in the reference that I have in mind. I'd like to read them. I hear sometimes people in their gathering together call, when they read some scriptures, we read the scripture lesson. Well, I don't know whether there's anything really wrong with that or not, but to me it goes far deeper than just a mere lesson that we are able to read and to understand and in some way appropriate to ourselves. It's a portion of the Lord's Word, God's Word. And we reverence it. We know that it is sacred because it is of the Lord. It is His Word. And though these scriptures are written by various ones over many hundreds of years, and yet the very same spirit that enabled the first man who wrote enabled all those between his time to write as they wrote, even down to the days of John, all by the same spirit. And if we are given the grace of our God to properly understand and to see we will understand and know full well that each one of them are connected so beautifully that there's no gap between them. But it takes the Spirit of God to be in us, to manifest Himself in us, and to open up these things to us. Else even this wonderful book is a sealed book. They're dark sayings. Who can understand them? The first scripture I'd like to read, I do not make any promises, of course. I could not possibly make any promises that I shall be able to speak concerning any of them. But if, even in the reading, if the Spirit of God applies them in our hearts, we could ask for nothing better. The first of this is in the book of Ruth, so-called the book of Ruth. And beginning at the 15th verse of the first chapter, and she said, that is Naomi said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to follow to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That's in the first chapter of Ruth. The next is in the second chapter of Ruth. It's the language of Boaz speaking unto Ruth. He said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am stranger? The next somebody suggested, I don't know who this morning, I found it in the sixth chapter of Luke. I think I shall begin at the 39th verse. And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns do men not gather figs. Now the bramble bush gather their grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Now I will look to the Lord in the word of prayer. O Lord, thou whom knowest the inmost feelings, the hearts of each one of us that are here gathered together and now bowed in thy presence, we come before thee confessing that we're sinners. We come confessing that there is nothing, absolutely nothing good in our flesh. But we come, O Lord, sometimes enabled through, as we do believe, that thy blessed Spirit to rejoice in the fact and the truth that though we are thus as we are in our flesh and unworthy of thy notice, and yet thou hast revealed, sent forth thy Spirit into our hearts, as thou hast sent forth thy Spirit into the hearts of thy people in every age of the world, and opened up their blind eyes and the hard and stony hearts of understanding, and have given them to know, to see what they really are as they stand in their Adamic nature. And further to have revealed to us, O Lord, that through thy pure grace and because of that wonderful love that is beyond our comprehension, that thou ordained and thou didst so fixed it in thine eternal will and purpose that before the world began, that thou would send thy Son here into this world to redeem thy people whom thou hast chosen in thy Son, to redeem them from all their sins and all their iniquities, and to give them such grace, O Lord, while they live, and give them faith while they live, that even in the midst of the stormy life, the trials, tribulations, the sorrows, and the affliction, that they're enabled to look to thee, from whence all their help must come. And to look beyond life and death, and have some wonderful and glorious understanding that though they're vile sinners in their flesh and must live and die because they are sinners, and yet, Lord, that they have that realization that though they die, they shall live again. We come, Lord, before thee this morning to give thee thanks, as best poor sinners are able to give thee thanks for this wonderful revelation in our hearts, a wonderful witness we believe that we have within us, whereby that we can say full well that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he, by the grace of God, is our Savior. O Lord, how good thou hast been to us all of our days. Thou didst bring us out of the dung heap in which we're in our flesh. Thou didst clothe us, Lord, with the robe of thy righteousness,
and didst give us hope, manifesting thyself in our poor heart. And thou hast brought us out to the things of the world, the love of the things of the world, and has set our affection upon things which are not of this world, which are high, far above even the imaginations of the carnal mind and understanding of men. O Lord, we give thee thanks that thou hast been pleased this morning to draw us away, to lead us by thine unerring spirit out of the world, and brought us here in peace, quietude, and in the love and the fellowship of thy people, who all speak the same language, who know no other God, who have no other hope. And then, if it is thy will, O Lord, to make thyself manifest in our poor hearts, that we for a little while might be lifted above our trials, and our troubles, and our afflictions, and be made to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad for all the things that thou hast done for us, for the wonderful and glorious promises that thou hast made unto thy people, of which thou hast fulfilled every one of them, that is applied up until this time. We have, Lord, by thy grace, that faith sometimes that we believe fully that thou wilt perform everything that thou hast promised. And so, Lord, though we have this hope, though we rejoice and are exceedingly glad sometimes, we're still here in this world. We feel that the greatest enemy that we have in this world is ourselves. And thou knowest it, but thou hast given us grace sufficient. We're in a world, O Lord, in which even our fellow men are so prone to deny the power of their Maker and their Creator. They're so prone, O Lord, to run after false gods, to burn incense, and erect great altars in the name of God, of whom all men are ignorant, except that thou dost reveal thyself to them. So we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us out, opened our blind eyes, and made us to see that the way that we were going, though we felt like it was the right way, was a way that led to death and to destruction, because we were depending upon our own works, our own righteousness, which we felt we had. But, O Lord, when thou didst open our eyes and we were made to see what we are, then it was, O Lord, that thou didst take us away from the things of the world and the love of those things. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou didst lead us to the house of our Master's friends. And we felt at home. We felt a joy and a peace that this world has never and can never afford. O Lord, keep us, we pray thee, all the days, the remaining days that we have, each one of us in this world, keep us in these things, gracious Father. Oh, withdraw thyself not from us. Because we go searching, and of ourselves cannot find thee. But we know that sometimes that thou art pleased to cause that we shall search after thee and not find thee, that we shall learn that it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps, that by searching we cannot find thee. Then we have oft times, Lord, experienced that when we couldn't find thee, we found that thou didst find us, and behold, thou wast not far off. O Lord, hear us. We know not how to pray. But calm our hearts, Lord, in this troublesome world. And we feel, O Lord, if we were not stayed by thy grace upon thee, and to realize that thou hast all power both in heaven and in earth, we would be of all men most miserable. We would not know what the works of the flesh of men and of the devil would do. But we're glad, Lord, that men and devils are in thy hand. Wars and rumors of war, destruction, everything, even our own lives. Lord, give us peace that we might rest upon this assurance that the Lord has had mercy upon us, and we have not been fit nor worthy of the least of his mercies. O Lord, go with us through this journey, the remaining journey, and enable us when it is pleasing in thy sight to worship thee and to praise and to adore and to exalt thy name, even though men deny the truth as it is in Jesus. Give us faith, Lord, that whatever may be necessary in thy leading us, that we should suffer for thy name's sake. Give us grace that we shall steadfastly pursue the course, ever looking to thee for all things. Lord, be with us. May thy name have all the praise forever and ever. Amen.
I don't know how to begin. I don't know what to say, really. But one thing I feel to know, and I think that sometimes we can say that we know it about as well as anybody in the world can know it, or anybody can know anything. And that is, to quote the Apostle Paul, that by the grace of God I am what I am. And to realize that were it not for his grace, that if we were left to ourselves, that I doubt very seriously whether a single one of us would be here this morning or not. Our flesh seeks after the things that belong to the flesh. But if we have been drawn out of the world by the unerring Spirit of our God, for no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him, Jesus said. If we have been drawn out of the world and have seen the light of God's grace and mercy and felt his love in our poor hearts, somehow he's also implanted in us the desire to gather ourselves together for his people are gathered together. Not allowed to come together with the Lord's people when their hearts are attuned to singing praise unto their God. I love to come together with them when they're not interested a bit in the world and just positively refuse to sing hymns that are contrary to Christian experience. That are contrary to the absolute power of God, the sovereignty of God. Because, brethren, I would just as soon stand before you and preach false doctrine as to take part with you if you were singing false hymns. Made no difference in it. Our God is the only true and the living God. He is the only God. And He's had mercy upon us. He's had mercy upon His people all the many, many years. And His mercy endures forever. And because of that, and because of that love, that manifestation He's put in our hearts, that He is our God and given us witness that Jesus is the Christ, we long to be enabled through the Spirit of God to exalt His name, lift His name up above every name that has ever been named. I'd like to just, I'll have to be very brief if my mind is led upon any of these things. I couldn't possibly go over, you're familiar, I hope you're familiar. I know you may have read the book of Ruth, read this account of this, a beautiful account it is, beautiful, even just to the natural reading of it is beautiful. If you do not remember, I hope you will be given to remember when you get home or whenever you have an opportunity and read the way that this girl, this woman, Ruth, was led. How that she was not an Israelite. She was a Moabite. And yet she had married into an Israelitish family. Along with another Moabitish woman, married two brothers. And her father-in-law died after they had been, by reason of famine, the lack of bread in Israel, they had to go into this far country on account of the bread. While they were there, these boys married these two women. And the father-in-law died. The husband of each one of the girls died. Ruth and Naomi were the two girls. I do not know, of course, there are so many beautiful things in this. But I feel that the way that Ruth was led is in some wonderful, glorious way, typical of the way that every little child of God is led. I take Ruth only because it would be too much to try to take in the others except just a casual mention. Ruth lost a husband. Yet she was given a love for her mother-in-law. It seems that they, when they'd heard that there was bread again in Israel, plenty to eat there to sustain them, they departed and went back to Israel. And as they were going there, Naomi, the mother-in-law, realized, or for some reason, realized that probably, as she thought, they would feel bored home to stay back in their own country and not follow her back into Israel. And she told him so. Naomi, after she heard the words of her mother-in-law, kissed her mother-in-law and departed and went back home. But the love that was given Ruth for this mother-in-law was such that she was perfectly willing, desirous, yea, more than desirous, of leaving her homeland, leaving her native land, and following the mother-in-law. And then comes the language that I read here in this first chapter, the language of faith, the language of love, that Ruth said unto her mother-in-law, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. How many of you know anything about the love that is imparted, that has been imparted and is in your hearts now for the church of the living God, for the brethren, for the sisters? Is there anything in all the world that attracts or is more beautiful or gives you more comfort and peace than the Lord's people? I say not. You may have, the Lord may have in natural things abundantly blessed you. But if he also blesses you to see and have the love in your heart for the church, for the Son of God and yes, and for the God himself who is the giver of all of these things, all those other things become as nothing in your esteem. And you'd rather walk, if it had to be 50 miles, just to spend an hour or so with your brethren, because there's where your heart is. There's where your love is. I know that we wish, sometimes we wish that we could separate out, or could be separated entirely from the things of the world. We can't. We never can be as long as we live. But the Lord gives us grace so that we hate the things that we once loved. And perhaps it is true in our cases that we love the things that we once hated. Whichever is true, my brethren, you now love the truth as it is in Jesus, and the doctrine of the works of men, the doctrine that says that men have the control of their own salvation in their hold, their own hands, you hate it worse than I can tell you that I hate a rattlesnake. You hate those things. There's something that just has turned you away from that self-righteousness. The same spirit, the same power that turned Saul away from his self-righteousness, his Phariseeism, and made him love the truth even unto death. That's the love of God manifested in your heart. And so have you not said, have you not felt sometimes, I'm so little, I'm so unworthy, I have no right in the church? But what if you, for some reason, were excluded by your walk or something? You were excluded from the church. Where would you go? You ever think about that? Have you not said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee? For whither thou goest, I will go. Yea, in trouble, sorrows, divisions, whatever it may be, my portion in life, I long to go. I long to suffer. I long for the joys and the peace and the consolation that the Lord gives to his people. Yea, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Whither thou diest will I die, and whither there will I be buried. Yea, and as much as within us is, we would say with Ruth here, the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now that's one beautiful thing to me. I want to go over then to the next, into the next chapter, a part of which I, a verse or two of which I read, in which, by the grace of God, she was led in her poverty, in her necessity, she was led to go out into the field and glean after the reapers. I don't suppose that we have anything like that now. I have never heard of it in my days. But in that day, the custom was, when they were reaping in the field, that the poor round about were at perfect liberty to follow after the reapers and to glean after them, so that those sheaves or those stalks or the corn, the wheat, whatever it was, that they were at perfect liberty to pick it up and it was theirs. It was necessary that Naomi and Ruth should have this food, and she went out unashamed, because she, in a sense, was a beggar. She had to go. They had to depend on someone else for their food. And she lighted, it was said, she came upon the fields of Boaz. I don't recall now whether Ruth knew anything about Boaz or not. Naomi did, her mother-in-law. But when she came out in the field where the young men were reaping and the maidens also, the young men treated her kindly. Though she was not an Israelite, she was of the land of Moab. I believe I'm right about that. Yet they treated her kindly. She must have been a beautiful girl. There was something about her, and more perhaps, I know it was more than just natural beauty. It was the grace of God that was leading her, so that the love that she had somehow just came from her. And Boaz had a love for her that was uncommon. And when he saw her, Boaz saw her, he inquired of his reapers, who is she? And they told him. And she, and Boaz went to her and spoke to her, commanded the young men not to bother, let her glean. And another wonderful thing is, he said to them, let there fall hands full of purpose for her. I don't know how much difference that the word of and on would make here. I read one time that it was
quoted handfuls on purpose and handfuls off purpose. I believe, my brethren, was a handful off purpose on purpose. Is that good English? I do believe it. That she, in gleaming, was not just to go along and pick up a few seed here or a little bit here. But where Ruth was gleaming to drop hands full of purpose to show the love that Boaz had for Ruth. Now, to get briefly to that text that I read, where that Ruth said, and I'll read a little bit more of what Boaz said to her first. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Think about Boaz calling her, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Oh, how impossible it would be under the circumstances, under the grace of God, under the very real, deep, hidden meaning is here. How impossible it would have been for Ruth the next day when she went out to glean again to have gone over to somebody else's field. There was something here, deeper, higher, more wonderful, than just would meet the natural eye and understanding of men. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee, they shall not harm thee, they shall not prohibit thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Oh, how necessary it would be, and it is yet, of course, in the hot fields to have cool water to drink. And she was made welcome under everything that was necessary for her comfort and convenience. Now here it is. Then she fell on her face. Think about it. Have you ever fallen on your face under the spiritual circumstances of thee? Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I believe every one of you that know anything about the grace of God have felt, realized, and asked the question. I know I have many times. Yeah.
Something happened to the recording machine from here on.